Ayan Katyan, risking his life just to spread the message amongst the most inquisitive and eager people there. And he has been initiating programs of a very dynamic nature to the Western audience, especially by introducing loft programs. He spends most of the time in Australia and New Zealand. Well, also he travels to North America, Northwestern Russia, Hawaii, and Gita Nagari farm in Pennsylvania. And well, my more closer intimate association with him came through his book, a very powerful, life-changing book, Searching for Vedic India. And I hope that you'll all have an opportunity to get a copy of this book downstairs. Very limited copy, copies available, so do grab your copy as soon as you get a first vision of it. Well, and that book and other book, The Perfect Escape, simply shows his penetrative insights into addressing issues with a spiritual perspective. So today's topic has been already famous here in Chaupati. I think so, the third Prerna Festival Maharaj had given downstairs in Bhaktivedanta Hall, I remember very clearly, stress, solution to stress, a Vedic from the Vedic perspective. And since then he has been promisingly been coming every year to address one Prerna Festival at least once a year. And that is a great fortune. And he's been inspiring youngsters all over the world, especially here at Chaupati. And I request all of you to apply your full intelligence, full attention, because the words that he's going to speak are going to affect you, and through you are going to affect the whole world. So I would again request all of you to heartily welcome His Holiness Devami Swami Maharaj in our traditional style by loudly chanting three times, Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
I'm very happy to be here with you, especially because you represent the future, not simply the present. I don't know how much you realize that you have a great responsibility on your shoulders to shape the future for yourself, for your family, and for this nation. Generally, when you are young, you can be very foolish. You can think, here's my life, I can be carefree, I can work hard simply to please myself, or certainly I will help my family, but I would like to please myself. And you look on television and you see so many things that grab your mind. Ah, this is the life. How do we survive with our purity in a world where there's contamination all around us? Let us visualize the lotus flower which sits upon the water, but the water never touches the petals of the lotus flower, a beautiful lotus flower. Although resting on the water, the stem is coming up through the water, but the petals are untouched by the water. How can we maintain our integrity How can we maintain our genuineness? How can we be authentic, be for real in such a world of compromise and cheating, hypocrisy, deception, and letdown? Please think about your great challenge as we go deeper into this subject matter tonight. Om Gyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hindi translation, Hindi anuvad aapko Lakshmi Narayan Hall mein sunne ko milega, to sab jo koi Hindi sunna chahte wo Lakshmi Narayan Hall mein chale jaye.
I see that there is an all men's audience, so I can approach this topic from a necessary point of view. Let us go back to the days when you were more innocent. A carefree child who had no interest in the opposite sex. In fact, you thought that the opposite sex was silly and foolish. Then what happened? The hormones, the chemicals in the body changed, and your whole life changed. Do you remember those innocent days? Before you felt the burden of having to attract the opposite sex, capture the opposite sex. Life was so innocent and carefree before that change happened. Biological science tells us that the young man, has a chemical hormone called testosterone, which is what drives the chase. It puts hair on your chest. It makes your voice deep, and it makes you go. For the female existence. By the time you are 16, this chemical hormone in the young man, testosterone, has increased tenfold. So that's where your innocence went. Chemical victimization. You thought you were innocent, but what happened? There's no one innocent in the material world. Simply your body was waiting for the right time to manifest the desires from your previous life. So there's no such thing as an innocent child. Simply, it's a matter of time. The desire seeds are in your body. The karmic reaction seeds from your previous lifetime. At the right stage of your physical development, these seeds come out. And the testosterone is the chemical evidence of that. A tenfold increase, 10 times as much. That's why your head began to spin when you were a teenager. But the wild ride does not end there at the age of 16. The testosterone continues to skyrocket. And it reaches its peak at the age of 21. When you are 21, you are a blazing fire. And then from that point of 21, the testosterone very, very slowly decreases. So this is what's going on. Your whole worldview shifted. Your goals, what you think is necessary, it all changes because of the body. The body and its influences. Wouldn't it be so simple to not be influenced by these changes of the body? How can you exist in this body without becoming dominated by it? The man interested in freedom wants to understand this point. Why should we spend our whole life under the gun of our bodily changes? It's miserable. It is not the doorway to opportunity. It's the doorway to slavery. So the bhakti process gives you the keys to the door of freedom. You just have to put the key in the lock, unlock the door, open it, and walk through. What will bring you above this bodily slavery? I must inform you that when I'm speaking about these topics abroad, Australia, New Zealand, USA, UK, most of the young persons who hear this, they're thinking, what's wrong with being a slave of the body? Isn't that what life is all about? If there is such a thing as spiritual knowledge and spiritual life, it should help us to enjoy the body more, to identify with the body more. And of course, this kind of illusioned consciousness is being now pushed into India. One billion people who haven't yet understood what is the ultimate goal of life. The materialistic ultimate goal of life. Simply to think you are the body and please the body. That's all. I was speaking the past few days here at the temple, also at Samaya College, about the alcohol phenomenon in India, as seen by the West. A big article in the newspapers in Australia, because many Indian students are going to Australia to study. It went down a little bit last year because the immigration rules were tightened up, but now they relaxed the rules again, so more students from India are coming, because it helps the economy, of course. The article pointed out that every year there is a 20% increase in alcohol consumption in India. Goes up 20% every year. So the Australians were glorifying this. This shows India's progressing. They're finally becoming more balanced. Before, they had so many taboos against alcohol, religious taboos, social taboos. But now things are opening up. They're becoming free. And it's proving to be the greatest market in the world for increasing the alcohol consumption. So the journalist pointed out, there's only a small problem about alcohol consumption in Gujarat, where they still have these old laws which forbid alcohol sales. But that just creates a worse problem. So much organized crime and illegal alcohol selling. If you just make alcohol freely available for everyone, there's no problem. Brilliant, huh? The problem is caused when you make alcohol consumption illegal. But you make just open it up, make it available for everyone, and you live happily ever after. What kind of thinking is this? So the article was saying a lot of India's problems came from Gandhi, who didn't like alcohol and who claimed that alcohol would make people slaves, but we all know that's old-fashioned. Now India is ready to step forward into the wonderful world of alcohol consumption. My hope in speaking to you tonight is to encourage you to take another path. And that path is more productive in every way. It is more beneficial in every way. It is not that Krishna is unaware of your material needs. Often we have that fear. That bhakti is completely spiritual. Krishna is completely spiritual. But we're living in this world. We have to be practical. We need to make our material situation. Now just think. Why do we have this in our mind that Krishna knows nothing about material necessities? Where did this concept come from? Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita where? On a battlefield. The most practical place of execution, management, strategy, tactics. But we think Krishna doesn't understand how to cope with this world. He doesn't understand our struggles. He doesn't understand the practical needs. Yet he's speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna on the battlefield in between two opposing armies. And Arjuna, as you know, we often point out, Arjuna is not a swami, he's not a sannyasi, he's not brahmachari, he's a family man. He's not a brahmana, he's a kshatriya, a warrior. And Krishna's speaking Bhagavad Gita to him. It is only because of the influence of the age of Kali that we have this fear. The fear that Krishna doesn't understand what we have to go through in material life. Krishna is very good for the spiritual side, but when it comes to the material side, we have to deal with that our own way. Isn't that so? So therefore, we have a little fear of Krishna. That if you take up the bhakti practices too seriously and with too much enthusiasm, you could lose your ability to function in the material world. There's that fear that you could become too spiritual, you could become too much bhakti in your life, too Krishna conscious, and then you'll become materially useless. We need to remember that Krishna is the origin of all energies, material and spiritual. Krishna is the master of the balance. Krishna is so expert at balancing the spiritual and material that when he appears in this world, he's untouched by the material energy. That is supreme expertise. And Krishna wants to impart that expertise. He wants to give that expertise to his devotees. How you can live in this world without being touched by material contamination. The devotee is qualitatively equal with Krishna. Originally, all parts of Krishna, all living entities, are equal with him in quality. Just like the drop of seawater has the same salty quality as the ocean. Of course, there's an unlimited difference in quantity. Krishna is infinite, unlimited, and we are so tiny. But just think, we are of the same quality as Krishna. Yet, in our material existence, we have forgotten Krishna, and we are struggling. Such a difficult struggle. But when Krishna gives us advice how to balance, how to satisfy the material needs, along with the top priority, the spiritual needs, we are skeptical. Krishna, do you really know what you're talking about? We are down here on the ground. You are up there somewhere. No, everywhere you look is Krishna's energy. The proof that Krishna is everywhere is that wherever you look, you see the energies of Krishna. He identifies to you what his energies are. Those energies make up everything. Those energies are everywhere. That means Krishna's influence and expertise is everywhere. Let's try to get to the origin of our problem in this world. A problem that makes it so we have difficulty living in material existence with integrity, with honesty, with honor. How can we make spiritual advancement amidst the contaminations of the degraded age of Kali? We have to know where we're at. We have to know what is driving us. Because actually, the qualities that we have are there in Krishna perfectly. What qualities can we see in ourselves? We, in our daily life, seek to create, to control, and to enjoy. That is your daily ritual. Of course, you are pushed along by the testosterone. Nevertheless, although your efforts are chemically driven, still those efforts mean, number one, to create, number two, to control, number three, to enjoy. Now, how is that? When you're making your way through this world, working, studying, seeking relationships, seeking entertainment, you are trying to create. You're trying to create situations in which you would feel safe and happy. So everyone is in material existence is acting on this creative motivation. I shall create a world of my own that will be safe, that will be rewarding, entertaining, gratifying my senses. That is the hope. And for that hope, we work very hard. We study very hard. All for this opportunity to create. Create situations. Create circumstances. Create relationships. Create goals. Create strategies. So you can see that we share this creative quality that Krishna has unlimitedly. We share it. But what are we using that creative quality for? We're using it to create a nice or improved material situation for ourselves. And we think that this is normal. This is normal life. Later we'll talk about the proper use of the qualities that we share with Krishna. But for now, let us focus upon the material use of the creative tendency. Remember, I'm going to create a situation which will satisfy me and my friends and family. Then what comes next? Control. Once you establish or create a situation for your pleasure and the pleasure of those who are close to you in terms of the body, then you have to control it, because this world is always fluctuating. It's always changing. What's happening right today, tomorrow will be not adjusted properly. Some difficulty will be there. So you constantly have to control the situation to make sure it stays the way you want it to be. Just think how much energy and anxiety that takes. First to create, but even if you do create a situation, you have to work so hard to control it so the outcome will be what you want. Everyone does this in their own little way. It's not that you have to be a king or a prime minister in order to create and control. Everyone does it in the material world. And then, after creating, controlling, what is the hope? Enjoying. Now just see how dependent our enjoyment is on the intense efforts to create and control. That creating and controlling causes us to struggle so intensely. But we think this is normal life, to struggle for creating and controlling. What else is there to do? You want to enjoy? You have to create and control. The bhakti lifestyle offers you a way to live in this world in such a way that you are cooperating with Krishna. Therefore, even though you may be working, even though you may be going to school, even though you may be maintaining a family, because you're cooperating with Krishna, your life is completely different. So instead of being the creator, the controller, and the enjoyer, we want to follow Krishna's instructions and be a cooperator. The example given. The finger cooperates with the hand cooperates with the arm, and the arm cooperates with the whole body. Actually, finger, hand, and arm are cooperating for the goals of the whole body. The finger, hand, and arm are parts of the body, functioning for the overall good of the body. So we are parts of Krishna. How do we learn to function for the well-being of the Supreme Absolute? The functioning for the well-being of Krishna. This is the education that we require. Without this spiritual education, we'll simply struggle, 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 trying to be the creator, the controller, the enjoyer. And we'll become so empty inside. Now, I said that I would speak some male issues. The main problem in the world today is that the men have become so weak. The spirit soul in the male body is meant to be in control of the mind and senses so that the man can act responsibly for the overall benefit, spiritually and materially, of himself and his family. But today's Kali Yuga culture of degradation makes men so weak. that culture burns your mind with lust and then gets you to turn to intoxication because the lust will frustrate you. If you could see what the young men look like outside of India, then you'll know where things are heading here. The men are so bewildered in mind. They're very weak, weak to the point of being sickly because they've been gratifying their senses since they were 12 years old. They've been taking intoxication since they were 12. So by the time they reach the 20s, they are complete devastation cases. We don't want that this happens here. But, as you know, the effects of that kind of culture are now the global culture. In this way, individuals are being destroyed. The world is being destroyed. How to get the men of India to turn in another direction? First, we have to take away that fear they have that Krishna doesn't understand how to live in this world. He doesn't understand the material practicalities. Then, without that fear, we can apply Krishna's instructions in our life. And we'll see that even though we're in material bodies, even though we're in the material world, we can function in a way that allows for achieving the ultimate goal of life, for achieving our proper state of consciousness, perfectly in connection with Krishna. Why would you want to cooperate with Krishna? First of all, the intelligent person knows cooperation with Krishna will make material life easier. That's true. The material world is Krishna's energy. He gives you a whole system of yajnas, methods for using all your activities as a sacrifice for his pleasure. So it's not that Krishna is trying to shut down the universities, shut down the employment places. He's not trying to shut down the families. He gives a full program how you can proceed with your education, with your work, with your family, but in a way that you benefit yourself, benefit others, and benefit the world. So Bhagavad Gita is a handbook, a manual that accompanies this world. You can learn how to perform all your practical activities as yajna, as sacrifice for Krishna. Then, even though the activity looks ordinary, he's studying, I'm studying. He's working, I'm working. He has a family, I have a family. To uneducated eyes, it all looks the same. But there's such an ocean of difference when you do things Krishna's way as compared to when you don't do things Krishna's way. You manufacture your own way. So what is causing the inner disturbance in our life? First of all, as I explained, we have misused our creative, controlling, and enjoying tendencies. If you cooperate with Krishna, then your abilities to create, control, and enjoy function smoothly. How do I create a situation for Krishna's pleasure? And to maintain that situation for Krishna's pleasure, it takes some controlling. And then, as far as the enjoying, it's so amazing. I don't have to think about enjoying. If I just focus on satisfying Krishna, because I'm part of Krishna, automatically I'll be happy without even being concerned about my own happiness. The latest psychological research has shown that now this is material, we're not talking spiritual, we're talking material. The happiest people never think about their own happiness. The materialists are coming out with this understanding. They're not talking about spiritual happiness, they're talking about material happiness. And of course, we have a problem with that conception of material happiness, but let it alone for now. We won't talk about that for now. Material psychologists are saying, those persons who have the best material happiness, they're always acting for someone else's benefit. They think, I'm doing this for my family, I'm doing this for my neighborhood, I'm doing this for my nation, I'm doing this for humanity. So you see, the principle of bhakti, loving devotional service to the Lord, is not so far-fetched, it's not so pie in the sky. It's just that bhakti identifies what is the most complete, what's the best way how to do something for others. You do something for the supreme other, and everyone else is included. By serving Krishna, that is the one switch that makes all the lights go on. This is why the devotee doesn't have to be in anxiety how to please myself, because the devotee is turning on that switch that makes all the lights go on. This is the peace that you see with the established devotees. They're not worried, how am I going to please myself? How will I make myself happy? You don't see that. That's the beginning of peace. And then the peace deepens by your thinking, everything for Krishna. How can Krishna be satisfied best? So this is what attracts you. When you see the established devotees, you see the peace in they're not being concerned, how am I going to be happy? How will I get this for me, that for me? And then the second thing is, you see the bliss of thinking about Krishna's pleasure. Now, generally, you would say, how can someone be so happy thinking of someone else's pleasure? You should always think for yourself, what will make me happy, what will make the few persons who are my friends and relatives, family members, what will make them happy. This is such a limited conception. After all, how many friends do you have? Does anyone here have more than 100 friends? I mean, not on Facebook, but you know. You know, Facebook friends are very cheap, you know. How many have more than 100 friends? And you may have a big extended family, but still, how many relatives can you deal with? You can probably genuinely deal with only 50 relatives at the most. So, materially speaking, you can't cope with so many persons. What to speak of, satisfy them. But by your endeavoring in bhakti, by your turning that switch that turns all the lights on, or you're switching on that switch that puts all the lights on, you can see how everyone can be satisfied. Even if they don't know it, you can see their satisfaction. And gradually, they will start to know it. In this way, please understand that you are in the position to do the best activity for yourself, to do the best activity for others. As a person of integrity, naturally you want to do the best thing for others. But what is that best thing? What is the best kind of life that you can live for yourself? What is the best kind of life that you can live for others? These are questions that the devotee is so concerned with. You see, selfishness is a very miserable life. Very miserable life. But now that kind of misery is being exported to India en masse. Just think of yourself and your senses. Forget all about even material duties. And never think of spiritual duties, but even forget material duties. There's a higher platform of life, a higher platform of living than thinking about your friends and family. Just forget all that old-fashioned stuff. Just think of your senses. That is advancement. This is what's coming. So, right now, you may be thinking, I'm concerned with my family. I'm concerned with my friends. How will Krishna deal with that? But soon, because it's the nature of Kali Yuga that things degrade more and more as time passes. So soon, we'll forget the material realities of friends and family, and we'll just focus on how can I please my senses. And that's what goes on in the Western world. Family life is finished. Friends are just on the internet, that's all. And everyone is so lonely. I was explaining to dear Shyamananda Prabhu, the greatest disease spreading in the Western world, USA, Europe, Australia, the greatest disease is loneliness. I know you can't imagine that. Loneliness? What is that like? Loneliness. How do you feel that there's no one around or you don't know anyone? You know, because in India, everything is the opposite of loneliness. So how can it be that with all the advanced communications, people are feeling more lonely than ever before? It's because the material technology is actually not bringing them together in terms of the heart. It's just external, superficial, just a very, just a covering. It's not the real heart-to-heart connection that persons want to share. I'll give you an example. There was an advertisement for a housing project for wealthy persons. Even now in Mumbai, you can see these signs on the street, the new apartment building, you know. And here you'll find security, here your family will be happy. So, they don't advertise like that in the USA. Because people aren't so much concerned with family and friends. Everything is you, you, you. This live here and your senses will feel good. Because families form and break up so easily. More children live in broken homes than in homes with their original mother and father. So anyway, there was this advertisement. It was taking into account the current social realities. Here we have the perfect home for you. This is a big house, and it has 5 internet alcoves separate from each other, so each family member can spend all day on the internet and never have to deal with the other family members. And the advertisement would give the distance, how many meters away between the different internet alcoves. Don't worry. Each internet alcove is separated by 20 meters in the house, so you never see the other person. And as he said, like, and the husband and wife each have their own office at the opposite ends of the house. So they can simply focus on their own work, their own occupation, and never have to see each other during the day. And then the main title of the advertisement was, "This is the perfect home for today's dysfunctional family." They were being a little funny to try to catch attention, but they thought we might as well make things real. And then our advertising will be very effective. Come see the home of reality. How people cannot deal with one another, and they don't want to deal with one another. So loneliness, believe it or not, that is the biggest plague. Mm-hmm. People have no friends. The statistics for friendship, statistics are kept for everything these days. So the average friend that someone in the USA has, the average number of friends, has gone down from 4.5 to 2.5. You can't conceive of that. Only two and a half friends? I know, it sounds crazy to you, doesn't it? But that's where material life is heading these days. People don't have, in these countries, they don't have anyone they can confide with. They're separated from their families. Their original mother or original father, they either don't know or they never see or they hate. So this is what the materialistic culture of today is bringing you. This is the kind of life it's bringing you. This is what happens when we separate Krishna and his instructions from the practical activities of our life. We get way out there. So I was speaking about the men. Once the men become weak, victimized by lust, victimized by intoxication, and they become greedy, "I'll do anything to get more money," then how can the men provide any leadership for their families, for the world? It's impossible. Everyone will simply work hard to please their own senses and please whoever is temporarily around them that they call a family or a friend. My deep hope is that you all will realize you're meant for much better than that. But please don't think that it's possible to live a successful life without Krishna. Why you see so much degradation and confusion coming today is for that very reason. People thinking that I don't want to be as degraded as some of these things I was explaining in other countries, but at the same time, I don't want Krishna because it doesn't seem Krishna is so interested in our material well-being. But everywhere in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks to you about how to live a successful life in this world. Krishna is the seed-giving father of all living entities. He knows you need to be maintained. He knows that you have this temporary body. You have to take care of it. These temporary bodies like to join together with other temporary bodies and make a family. Krishna understands all that. But he gives you the way to execute these activities without being touched by material contamination. That is the brilliance of bhakti. So you all have this great opportunity to demonstrate to the people of the world how to live in this world but not be touched by contamination. Even while you're working, studying, having a family, as soon as your purpose changes from pleasing the temporary body and mind to pleasing the eternal senses of Krishna, your whole life becomes transformed. This is the topmost scientific accomplishment. How to live in this world and act without being compromised, without being touched by material contamination. Particularly as men, you have a responsibility for leadership. By the overload of materialistic entertainment, the mind becomes destroyed and you give up your ability to provide genuine leadership. Because genuine leadership means spiritual leadership. The man should be able to establish clearly, this is the direction we shall go in. We need to satisfy the practical needs while ultimately we are increasing in our spiritual development. The two things can happen side by side. So the man is meant to give that kind of vision. Now, when you look at the TV, when you look at the movies, do you see anything that will equip you with that kind of vision? Everything you see in the television and the movies is about destroying your vitality, destroying your backbone. You are just a sense enjoyer. And you should just think of yourself and what makes you feel good. Some other get money and buy things like the rest of the world. And then you'll be happy like the rest of the world. Everything you see, the television and movies, is pushing that conclusion upon you. Free yourself from all religious thinking. Free yourself from Krishna and be. This is the great tragedy. No one is happy living like this. So you have a great responsibility. And all the information, all the knowledge, all the training necessary for achieving this great goal is available to you. Krishna is more interested in our having the proper balance than we are. That's the reality. Krishna is the expert in balance, and he's more desiring that you have a balanced life, then we are desiring. So if we change our vision, how we think of Krishna, instead of being doubtful, does Krishna understand I need to balance? Does Krishna understand that I need to be able to work in this world without becoming compromised, without becoming contaminated? Of course Krishna understands that. He's the most expert, because as I said in the beginning, he comes into this world himself, the supreme personality of Godhead, and he's untouched by matter, and he wants to teach you how to do that. So you have to recognize who is the most expert, who is the authority on how to live in this world without being compromised, without being touched by material contamination. Krishna demonstrates that in his pastimes, in his leelas. He's showing you, look, this is how you do it. You listen to what I say, I'll teach you also how to remain untouched by the material energy, even while you're in this world. Of course, you cannot imitate Krishna's pastimes and leelas, but he'll give you instructions how you can live in this world and act as vigorously as Arjuna acted, and you will not be touched by the material energy. That is the perfection that bhakti gives. So in this way, please understand that Krishna's teachings in Bhagavad Gita are the perfection of the information age. People are on information overload, but what good is that information doing them? But the perfection of the information age teaches you how to live in this world happily, solve your material necessities, and achieve the ultimate goal of life, cooperation with Krishna. So perhaps you may have some questions about this very important point, very essential understanding for the well-being of you, your families, your friends. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. Maharaj, I wanted to ask that, we have, for a long time, we have trained in a lot of, material concepts, things in our life. And at a certain point of time, we enter into Krishna consciousness. And then where, even though we are practicing, these are previous conditioning, these are previous things, they interfere with the process. There is, a lot of commotion, there is a lot of emotional disturbance, and my experience is that it disturbs our growth in Krishna consciousness. So how to deal with these emotions, where to channelize them, how to, so that we can get rid of our previous conditioning. Thank you.
The whole bhakti process gives you the technology for living in this world in such a way that you can rise above the limitations of the past. See, bhakti is purifying. It transforms you. It's not like you're just doing some rituals, some religious activities out of habit. All the activities in Krishna's service transform your core being. So it's not that you're the same person anymore. You're being purified, you're being cleansed, and that means you can see better, you can see more clearly, you have more knowledge. You don't get caught in the same traps that you would have gotten caught in before. So in this way, bhakti is practical. It's a practical laboratory transformation. You won't be the same if you follow the spiritual doctor's instruction. So it's not that here I am with some internal problems. And if I practice bhakti, I'll just be practicing bhakti with those same internal problems. No, it's not like that. You'll be transformed. You'll go to a higher level if you follow the doctor's instructions. Another question? Oh, he's way in the back. How can, will he be able to get? What to do?
First of all, Hare Krishna, sir. And as you were telling, I wanted to ask one question that you were telling that we should do each our work the Krishna way. So how do we do it in our practical life? That is, for example, I am a student. I have to study every day. I have to attend the lectures and I have to study for my for getting good marks. So how do I practice the Krishna's instruction, how do I cooperate with him and what are his instructions? So I want to know that. Thank you.
As a student, you can take up the bhakti technology. Students eat, yes. There's a way to eat for Krishna's pleasure. There's a way to use all your senses for Krishna's pleasure. And you're studying in order to get an occupation for maintaining yourself. But that maintenance should be for Krishna's pleasure. So you can support a bhakti lifestyle for yourself and a family. So if you have good guidance, you'll be able to see all your activities, whether a student or working, as connected to Krishna. It just takes some expert guidance to show you, here's the connection, here's how you do it. I always explain how important guidance is in bhakti. Your life has meaning, whether you're a student or working, if you're Krishna conscious, because you're studying or you're working in order to have a spiritual lifestyle. Because you have to take care of this body. Krishna knows that better than you. You have to take care of your body. But there's a way to take care of the body. There's a way to live in this world. Yourself, the family, and at the same time, make spiritual advancement. That's the balance that Krishna is advocating in Bhagavad Gita. That's doing things Krishna's way. I have seen when I went to Samaya College, they have one base there. And I read the mission statement of the base. And it's all about just what you said. And they're students. They're studying. They're not lazy students. They're studying. They are. They also have parties at the base, Sankirtan parties. They have feasting, very delicious food, prasad. I had some when I was there. I know. I saw. I tasted. So I saw that this is completely possible. Maybe you think, oh, you can sit there and you come from abroad and you're speaking high words, but we are struggling in school and a job. No, I've seen it all. I have seen the students. I have spoken to the working men. So just as they have done, you can do also. And that way you'll be of real benefit to yourself, to your family, and to the world. You all here have the ability to make a great difference in human civilization. As Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu was explaining, my last month before I graduated at Yale University, I decided to talk to my dean and to explain to him where I was at, what was on my mind. So I said, you know, I do not see much place for myself in materialistic society. And he just looked at me without blinking. He said, you are a Yale man. You will influence the world. It seems he was right, but not in a way that he thought. So I studied. I did my studies. But I was not as fortunate to have the opportunity that you all have to get so much help for those who are studying, young men who are studying, young men who are working. I didn't have all that. Even though where I went to university, 4 years now at Yale, costs $200,000 minimum. But I didn't have the wealth of the opportunities that you have. So if I can try to be a devotee, certainly you can. You have much more opportunities than I had. If only I had a base when I was at Yale. To get good prasad, good association, the best knowledge. So you have it much better. Therefore, Krishna expects more from you than from me. You are the A team. I was the Z team, spiritually speaking. So please take advantage of your great opportunity. Don't waste it. The world needs real men. Try to understand scientifically how the life of sensuality and intoxication destroys you, destroys society. And the life of focusing simply on economic gain will make you so lonely. Because it's the way that society breaks apart. India is the land of the highest principles, the highest spiritual knowledge. That's what will keep your life together, keep your family together. Anything else?
Hare Krishna. Since the topic is about materialistic ways how to deal with materialism, I would like to ask one thing, that I have been into a couple of relationships as of now and have experienced a similar kind of pattern in the relationship, which doesn't make me happy today. I said that I have been into a couple of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I did have similar kind of patterns into relationships. Similar kind of cycle.
Thank
into
you.
Relationships.
Yes,
today, I do not feel so happy about it. So suppose if I have to break this kind of pattern, which has been occurring over so many years, how do I go about it?
We need to understand what the purpose of relationships are. They're not about mutual exploitation. I'm going to do for your senses and you'll do for my senses. This kind of mentality has destroyed the men in the Western world, and it will destroy the men in India. Mm-hmm. And you're intelligent enough to understand that it wasn't satisfying. You feel empty inside.
Hello. Yeah, it's not about satisfaction in terms of gratifying my senses, but in terms of a much broader perspective about relationship, wherein I am at an age where I feel that I'm a little bit mature to handle relationships as well. So it was not that, okay, I satisfy your needs and I, you know, I expect the same thing in return. It wasn't about exploitation. So, however, the relationships were not so satisfactory on the level of, the patterns were repeated, you know, maybe which were not so morally rightful, I can say.
That's very humble and honest of you. So how to make it right? So many married couples, they are coming here to Radha Gopinath Mandir. They have a high purpose for their relationship. Nowhere in Bhagavad Gita does Krishna say that man cannot be with woman, woman cannot be with man. But Krishna gives the way how to do that so that both can give each other the highest good. So you have to simply learn that art.
Lastly, why do people come across their so-called partners who are not meant for them? Suppose if I have maybe 3-4 relationships, so why I have come across people in my life who have been, if Krishna knows everything, then why I'm not getting the right person at the right time in my life?
I very much appreciate your candor and your honesty. And appreciate that you are honestly expressing yourself. It's very educational for me to hear such a question here. And I can see how times have changed. This sounds like a question I would get in Sydney or New York or Melbourne. So I appreciate your introducing me to the new India. So this is my point. What he so honestly and humbly stated. These are the problems that come about through a lifestyle disconnected from Krishna. Do you know what it's like? I'll tell you, in Australia, USA, UK, people don't even know how to have a relationship anymore. The bookstores are full of hundreds of books. How do you have this is how you have a relationship. This is how to say yes. This is how to say no. Men who love too much, women who love too much. hundreds of books just about how to have relationships because people don't know anymore. These are problems your grandparents never would have thought of. So that's why I'm speaking to you all tonight. Please go another way. Learn the art and science of how to connect everything to Krishna, whether it's studying, whether it's working, relationships, marriage, family. It all can be done gloriously in a way that you and everyone else will be uplifted. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. I want to ask you a question that
since so many youth, so much youth of India is trying to pursue the education abroad, and you have been preaching widely in all over the world. So what is your experience that do they meet the expectations they want? They think that all right, that West is contaminated, but we have our values and we have the morals which are brought in our society, so we can survive abroad. So what is your experience with them?
They don't think like that. They think, now I'm in Australia, my parents are in Mumbai. That's how they think. Now it's time to experience. Nevertheless, there's something inside them due to good fortune, good background, that they know it's wrong. But they allow themselves to be caught up in this whirlwind of hedonism. And in that whirlwind, you think, how can Krishna help me? What does Krishna say that will practically be of value for my life? Mm-hmm. And they start to suffer so much. And then they start to think, what will my future family life be? What will I be able to tell my children? Nothing except work hard and get more money. I'll tell you an example. I was at a very wealthy, older man from India, his home in Canberra, Australia. He's in his 40s, financially successful, but he was in such anxiety. His daughter, she was 8 years old, and she was going to school there. And he said, what kind of life can I give her? All around her, there is just madness. She came home from school one day and said to her mother and father, very innocently, eight-year-old girl, Daddy, Mommy, when are you going to live in separate houses like all the other students in my class? I'm the only student in my class who comes home to the same house where mother and father live. This is where this life of dishonor, this life of degradation, this is where it leads. The man didn't know what to tell his daughter. He said, wouldn't it be fun? One weekend I spend at Mommy's house, next weekend I spend at Daddy's house. This is where it all leads. And then the loneliness comes in. You all are meant for much better than this. That's why I'm appealing to you all. Take this great opportunity that Krishna is giving. It'll be the best for you and for the world. Demonstrate that there's a higher way to live. And that higher way to live is not just based on tradition or ritual. It's based on the topmost knowledge. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for being here. Hare Krishna.